and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keyes. Smoke from Canadian wildfires is filtering down into parts of the U.S., causing air quality problems. It is already unhealthy for people and animals sensitive to pollution in parts of Minnesota and Wisconsin. CBS's Tara Molina with more on what you can do.
There are health concerns.
If you have asthma, if you have any type of respiratory issues, or if you are older, make sure to monitor.
Keeping an eye out for air quality alerts. Advice from Ayana Simba with the Illinois Environmental Council, an advocacy group based here in Chicago.
We can't control necessarily what happens in Canada. I think our biggest concern is that we have air quality issues here at home. So we have the wildfire smoke, we have the high temperatures, we have the sunlight mixed in. That can actually exacerbate the air quality issues in Chicago.
President Trump says he is doubling tariffs on steel and aluminum to 50% next week. This after touting a plan yesterday he says will preserve U.S. steel production and thousands of jobs. CBS's Bradley Blackburn.
A $15 billion bid by Nippon was blocked by the Biden administration, but Trump says with this deal, U.S. steel will still be under U.S. control.
We're all working together, and I'm going to be in Washington. I'm going to be watching over it, and it's going to be great.
From West Texas.
3, 2, 1.
Blue Origin launched 6 tourists into suborbital space. It's the 12th human flight for the company's new Shepard program. The 11-minute journey took the passengers about 62 miles above the Earth. The booster touched down safely after launching the capsule. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth is at a security summit in Singapore, calling on U.S. allies in Asia to spend more on defense.
NATO members are pledging to spend 5%. Of their GDP on defense, even Germany. So it doesn't make sense for countries in Europe to do that while key allies in Asia spend less on defense.
There's a massive recall of Ford vehicles over a glitch in the backup camera. CBS's Christine Lazar.
More than 1 million Ford and Lincoln vehicles, from Ford F-150s to Mustangs, are being recalled. According to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, a software issue with the rear view camera could cause it to freeze, increasing the risk of a crash. Ford Motor Company says affected owners can get a free software update at dealerships or remotely over the air.
There are increasing worries about massive federal cuts as hurricane season begins. There have been huge staff reductions to the federal system that forecasts, tracks, and responds to the often deadly storms that are getting worse due to climate change. There are cuts to travel, training, and grants at FEMA and NOAA. Both agencies say they're prepared. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A nice looking weekend as we transition into the month of June. Sunny skies today with highs in the lower 70s. Mostly clear skies tonight, cool and crisp with lows in the lower 40s. Temps rebound nicely tomorrow with lots of sunshine, a high of 77. Right now, it's 57.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by Seth.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We're going to get into some entertainment news in a little bit. We got some other fun stuff we're going to be lining up for you as well. But it's a Thursday in the 10 o'clock hour. You all know what that means. Time for our pet of the week from the Southwick County Humane Society. Big shout out to Milltown Coffee, sponsoring this segment. We appreciate our friends over there. Cannot wait to get some of that good coffee from them. Denise, how you doing?
I'm great, thanks. How are you guys?
I'm doing good.
All right.
We're very excited to talk with you today and have you in. And I want to thank you not only for spending the time with us as you do every Thursday, but when you're able to bring the animals into the studio, it is so exciting and fun for us. We are little kids when it comes to this. I actually realizing we'll get to our pet of the week here first, because I got a lot on this one. Who do we have with us today, Denise?
We have Amaya. She is a six-year-old female, kind of tortoiseshell-looking.
Yeah.
Cat. She is FELV positive. That means she has feline leukemia virus, and it is only transmitted to other cats, not humans, not any other animals.
Yeah.
They typically live a long life depending on the stage of their virus or their overall health. And she, Amaya, is an example of cat living its best life.
Nice. Yeah. Very much.
Yeah.
Very much. Just met her and can already get that impression from her. She's got a really sweet personality. and like a lot of cats, very curious.
Yes.
Very interested in the world around her.
Yep.
And she is in foster right now?
She's being fostered by our cat room manager, John. But she does spend a lot of time at the shelter, too. She has her own playroom where people can, pick her up and play with her. We just need to make sure that people are educated on what FELV is. And cats can live a long life as long as we're the only cat in the home.
Gotcha.
And, when it comes to that, too, I don't know how this comes across, but when you know you don't have as much time with the animal, and we all kind of understand that agreement we make with animals when we take them into our homes and all that, but this is a little different with the actual knowing of some of this data and everything.
Yes.
I would think that would, certain families out there would be an absolute perfect fit for something like that.
Yeah.
What a gift you're able to give to an animal, to a creature, when you know that it doesn't have that much long, but you're going to give it the greatest life it can have in those times.
Absolutely. There's a lot of people that are very educated or they've done research on this virus, and they have animals in the home that just have FELV just because they're aware of it and they want to help the cats.
Mm-hmm.
So it's awesome.
A friend of mine, he got a turtle for his like 13th or 14th birthday or something. I'm sorry, not a turtle, a tortoise. He still has it. He's in his 30s now. Animals and certain people, you don't necessarily know what you're signing up for, and sometimes that time commitment can be a lot and daunting for certain people. So I don't mean to be morbid or anything about it, but just, trying to, my main goal is to help get these animals in the perfect home and their new best friend.
Yes, absolutely.
And to me, I think that's a really good match for somebody out there.
Absolutely, because she's not going to want to go for walks. So she's pretty laid back, although she's running around the studio.
Very curious, right?
Yeah,
that's probably my fault. That's probably me.
They all love you, James.
I bring that out of animals. I really
you do.
she's five, so she's also mature. And I think that part is really nice, and shows in her too.
Yeah.
She's able to kind of keep herself busy while also being, comes around you. She's already come around me a couple of times.
Yep, she's independent.
Every cat loves that spot right in front of the ears.
They do.
Right there. You get that spot, you got a new friend, man.
Right.
They really love that.
They keep coming back for more.
When it comes to, again, the FELV, I personally know a very little bit about that when I was working in shelters, but it's something, too, that it doesn't necessarily take a ton of research to be able to fill up. In fact, when you go onto the website, swchs.com, you guys did a really nice job of putting a link there for people to learn more about it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Yeah, we have a couple of experts on our staff that know a lot about the stuff and the medications and the the lifespan and how the different stages of the virus itself. It kind of mimics HIV, the human it's pretty sad, but there are a lot of cats that don't make it, but Amaya is an example of cats that are thriving because she has very faint positives instead of, full on.
Right.
That really good benefits. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah.
She is a wonderful, wonderful cat, and we cannot wait to get her into a new forever home. Before we wrap up, Denise, I did want to check in and see how things are going over at the shop. Are there any key needs that we can help out with?
We can always use kitten food, like the wet pate or any of the canned foods, and then litter. Litters are hitting because we have several litters of kittens in foster, and they will be coming to the shelter soon.
We want to help out any way we can with that, of course. And it sounds like it looks like the building's all doing good and everything.
Yep.
That's all taken care of.
It's fantastic. We are moving things around, getting ready for our final, this is what we're going to have in this beautiful establishment and use it instead of moving from room to room.
Excellent. Really nice to hear for you guys. And of course, the animals and the routine coming a little bit back, normalizing. Probably not a lot of the construction noise helps out a lot, too.
It does. The animals aren't as frantic as they were. And
I'm
I
sure.
do have big news. Redford got adopted after being on the radio last week. So thank you guys. Yes,
wonderful
thank
news.
Thank you so much for what you're doing.
Yes, that's a win.
He heard the interview on this radio station. He called in, came to meet him, and picked him up the next day.
That's some tremendous of the best news we're going to hear all day.
Thank you so much. It works. It works.
Really, oh, hey.
Really is awesome. That is very, very cool.
I didn't know if she was going to be able to get up on the desk. Yep, answer that question.
Cats are very nimble.
Yes, they are. I don't, even as big as that.
I don't think I've ever said this to one of our pets of the week. Please don't try to take my job. I need this job.
Coming to the mic.
There's not a lot of things I can do. I need this job. Please don't take this job from me. She's very good, though. Just a natural on the mic.
Yeah.
She's very good. Before we wrap up, real quick, Denise, I did also want to mention and encourage people to being a member and that with the Southwick County Humane Society. There's a lot of cool perks that are involved with that. There's a discount on local businesses, a newsletter on life-saving work, and some really cool information. You get a discount with the Humane Society as well.
Correct.
And among all of these things, as great as all of that is, you also know that you are helping out one of the more vital organizations in our community.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you can do the memberships over the internet. Through our website and walking in the door, too. We have paperwork. You can do it through PayPal, I believe it is.
Yeah.
It's very easy.
Yeah. Encourage you to look into that more, everybody. And you can find out more about that at SWCHS.com. Their website, be sure to bookmark it, SWCHS.com. And you can go there as well to check out all these great, amazing animals like Amaya. She is sitting there waiting for you with some really good pictures, along with so many other great ones. And we encourage you to check them out as well and see how you can help out with the Humane Society. You can email them, office@SWCHS.com. You can always give them a call, 715-423-0505, 423-0505. Be sure to follow them on social media and share their posts on your page and so people can see them. And stop by if you want with those items that they need at 3621 64th Street North right here in Wisconsin Rapids. Denise, thank you so much for the time.
Thanks for having us.
Big thank you to you, Amaya. It was good to meet you. And we, of course, say a gigantic shout out to our friends at Milltown Coffee. We appreciate them sponsoring this segment. Buy local, support local, everybody. We will take a quick time out. We'll come back with some more fun here on The Morning Show at WFHR.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Doorman, I need you to check the voicemail today. I'm completely swamped.
Sure thing. A doorman at your service.
Hey, my garage door won't open, or only one side opens. I can't get my car through that.
My garage door motor is running, but the door doesn't move.
Sir, your photo eye sensor is clouded over, or you may have a blocked track.
Thank you, doorman.
Your emergency manual release cord was disconnected.
Those kids!
Children are a delight. We've reconnected it. Door works for the win.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Aruba, Jamaica, ooh, I wanna take it. Bermuda, Bahama, come on, pretty mama, Key Largo.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. This is more 90s than 80s.
I don't know, is this from Cocktail?
Yes, it is. I believe so. So 80s, yes. All right. Couldn't remember, actually. Terry and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Again, another spring, summer topic, traffic. Whether we like it or not, whether it is the traveling we're doing with, getting out of the house and, bopping around, vacation plans, all that, or orange cone season, which we always like to remind you to keep an eye out for our city workers out there working their tails off just trying to make our roads safer
and everything. Slow down.
So if traffic is really slow on the roads today, just be thankful you are not in New Hampshire. Because if you are in New Hampshire, our condolences, we feel for you. Thank you for tuning in. I don't know why you're listening to us, but we really appreciate it. There is a new report on the average driving speeds in each state, and New Hampshire was the slowest, with an average speed of just under 50 miles per hour. Wyoming was has the fastest drivers at an average of 72.
They've got a lot of stretches, though, of like no or very high speed limit. You know, just
Yeah, yeah.
Just drive.
Never been there or to that part of the country, but so when I first saw it, I'm like, what is that? That doesn't make sense. And then, yeah, that kind of brings it in, I think. To come up with these numbers, they used Google data to track the average driving time for a long-distance route between a state's major cities. They made sure it was a good average by checking the speeds at various times throughout the day and across different days of the week. The more densely populated states are generally slower than the wide-open roads of the bigger western states. But it was more comprehensive than just looking at speed limits or traffic congestion. After New Hampshire, the next slowest states are Vermont at 52 miles, Maryland at 54, Mississippi at 56, Rhode Island at 56, and then Alaska at 56 as well. Hawaii wasn't included in the data. And after Wyoming, the next fastest states are New Mexico, Idaho, South Dakota, Florida, followed by Alabama and Arkansas. So, interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting list. For urban driving, the slowest states are Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, Colorado, and Ohio. The fastest urban driving states are Alaska, Alabama, Nebraska, Arkansas, and Missouri.
Say that 10 times fast.
Yeah, Alaska and Nebraska, I never realized they're so darn alike. Interesting list, as far as, again, this is the states that drive the fastest and the slowest, according to this list. Where does Wisconsin rank? That is what everybody is curious about, what we want to know, of course. So looking in Wisconsin, Wisconsin ranks at about 60 to 65 miles per hour. So a little bit faster than the average, a little bit faster than some, but very right on pace with Illinois, Michigan, and Indiana. So pretty similar to all of those. So, as far as the average time getting to work, all that, I think there's some stuff there that seems interesting, but I don't think it's anything that we kind of probably couldn't put together. Don't know. I think one of the more key, interesting things about this to me would be the route that you all take. Everybody has their route to work. Everybody has their route to get to something. And it is usually the fastest route to work. But do other people do this? I have obviously working in radio, there are plenty of times where, I got to get there. I got to be on air in a couple minutes or whatever or something. But there are times when I'm taking my time into work. Do you have a pace route? A route you take that is just slower and a fast route? Because maybe it's just because I've been working here for so long. I have two different routes I take.
Oh, if I'm going to work, it's always the same.
It's always the same? Okay.
And I have to cross railroad tracks. Mm-hmm. So I do take that into consideration. Yeah. Like, if there is a train, where will it be moving the fastest? Mm-hmm. Which sounds kind of silly, but like if I cross closer to home, so more towards Rudolph, the train will be moving faster versus if I come closer to Rapids before crossing, mm-hmm. it's slowing down as it's coming into town. So I always cross at my first opportunity. But coming to work, I always go the same way. Doing other things, I might go different ways.
Sure, sure.
If I'm coming in, whatever, to do some shopping or because I have something else going on, I might take a different route. But coming to work, it's just the same. I don't know. What is that? Is it autopilot? What I mean? Autopilot. Like, it's just here's where I'm headed. Here's what I need to, need mm-hmm. to do.
I think maybe it's more something we do when it comes to like a trip that you take a lot, but not every week, maybe, or something. Like, I go to Point, or was going to Point a lot, and I like taking a more scenic route. There are faster routes I might have been able to take, but there's a scenic route I just enjoy taking, and I usually did that one. So it's probably more so along those lines. Especially if I'm going to see my brother in Appleton or something like that, there's certain routes you like to take.
Sure.
Maybe it's more of that. Part of what I think is interesting about this topic, and this is more of an umbrella topic about just transportation in general. We had Mayor Zacharin last week, and we touched on this a little bit, and we've talked about it a little more and more. And we have Lance Plimmel coming in a little bit later, and we'll probably come up with Lance as well. Our area, more specifically Wisconsin Rapids, is the conversation is becoming more and more consistent with do we need public transportation in this area? Do we need a bus line or something like that. And I just think that's an interesting conversation. I think it speaks to the area. I think it speaks to the health, the economy of the area, along with it's just being, to me, an interesting topic. I come from the home of trains. Where there was a point in this country where Chicago was the main spot for the country. All the trains ran and started and ended there. And Union Station or any of those things. And there's a lot of that to me that just enjoys this topic of transportation in general. I'm curious to see where this goes from here. I don't have a feeling on this one. I'm not going to be able to tell you should do this or you shouldn't do that or whatever. I just find the topic and the conversation interesting.
Well, public transportation's been on the table forever. Yeah. I mean, there's been a Wood County Transportation Committee for, well, I've been in this job going on 18 years. I mean, it's always been there. And I think at the end of the day, it's not that there's not a recognized need. It's how does the need and the balance, need and the cost balance out? You mm-hmm. know, how does that work and best benefit, members of the community? I think we've seen some alternatives to that. We've had a cab system, and there's been some efforts to try to improve that or change that and how that might affect people. Another good example around transportation is Mid-State Technical College mm-hmm. runs a van. Mm-hmm. From all the communities they serve back and forth. So if kids need, or any student needs a certain class or whatever, they can get onto the campus that they need. The different health systems have run different transportation. And I think all of those are little pieces to the bigger picture of mm-hmm. public transportation. But it is interesting because it's been a topic of discussion for a really long time, and I think at different times it surfaces in different places.
See, that's more of my point.
Yeah.
I understand it's been around for a long time, even longer than I've been in this area, but I feel like in recent years it's been brought up to the surface again. I'm hearing more and more people, especially political people, talking about it. When we're looking at job creation and talking about that, that's another part of this to me, is that what it can do. Now, is this going to bring in a 5,000 jobs into the area? No, it's not going to do that, but very few things can. One of the things, and I've talked with Matt on air and off air about this, that I feel like he is really key to the past year or two and the amount of businesses you've seen move into this area. Part of the strategy of that is not only finding things that will succeed here, because anybody can bring a business into town, I'm talking about bringing something in that is going to last.
And that's will be supported.
Job. Right. Not only that, but instead of looking for Amazon to come into town, which wouldn't make any sense anyway because they don't pay any taxes. It wouldn't help anybody, really. It's more about, hey, you got 300 jobs. Oh, you got 50 jobs. We're going to bring you into town. We're going to bring you in. And let these companies not only build roots in this area, but the employees who are already here building with that.
You know, there's a really successful rideshare program in Waupaca County, and they're actually right now, probably as we speak, working on a pilot of that program in the Marshfield area. So I think that's revived some of the discussion as well, because there's a lot of eyes from here, from Southwood County, on understanding what's happening in Waupaca and what the cost is and the impact, but then also what does this little pilot in the Marshfield area look like, and how, possibly, if it's successful, how could it be, expanded countywide and then be sustainable? So, I mean, I think there's really interesting conversations going on. It's awesome.
And there's two other ones, the two kind of separate conversations in a way here, too, where we're talking about the local transportation, maybe a bus line here in Rapids or something along those lines. And then there's the, a bus line that takes you from Rapids to Point or from Point to Marshfield or something along those lines. And, Amtrak, Greyhound, they've got a long established industry, and I believe that they're in the state here a little bit, having them and being involved or even doing something just of your own is an idea. I don't think maybe I'm not being clear enough about this. I'm not expecting like a 20 fleet bus line or something like that. But even something simple that may not seem like it would get a lot of use, I really feel like once it's actually open and running, people would see how much use it would get. I do think that, like a lot of things in area and society in general, we're not kicking the can, but we're getting close to kicking the can. It's just a matter of time before you're going to need it. Now, here's the other part of this. If 5-10 years from now you don't need it, that's a problem too. That's also an issue because communities like ours are looking to, we're all looking for the, our biggest resource right now is people. And not only keeping people in this area, especially, hey, graduation's happening right now. Not one of the oldest stories I remember from living in this area, my nan and papa went to, they had the Zielinskis, really good friends of theirs, and they went to their daughter's graduation at Lincoln. And my nan and papa come from Chicago, come from a pretty big area when it comes to high school graduations. You're sitting there and you're going to be there all day, that kind of thing. With this, they were really blown away with how many kids there were. And my papa is sitting there thinking, how many of these kids are going to stay in town? You know, how many of them are going to stay here and work here or live here and everything? And that's something that is still a storyline, not just for Rapids. Everybody in every state is dealing with this in rural communities. How do you keep them here? Some of these things are attractive to people. Some of these things are reasonings, you know, that are not the one sole reason they're going to stay, but it helps. It helps add to the positive column. We'll see. It's interesting. I don't, again, I don't think that the area is going to fall apart without it or anything like that. But I do think it's an interesting topic to keep an eye on.
You know, I also wonder about the scalability of other programs like, you know, like Lyft or like Uber. Like, to me, that seems probably like the most cost effective, sustainable. But it's how do you scaling it to a small community? Yeah, you know, so, yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of opportunity.
And it's a topic that's not going anywhere either. I think that we're definitely going to keep talking about this over the next year or two. I wanted to send a shout out to this New York news anchor. For those that did not hear, a morning news anchor for a New York station went into labor in the early morning and still anchored the morning show less than 2 hours later. Well done, Olivia. Olivia Jaquith, morning anchor over in Albany, anchored the 6 a.m. news broadcast on Wednesday after her water broke about 4:15 a.m. Quote, "We do have some breaking news this morning," literally. Co-anchor Julia Dunn said at the start of the broadcast, "Olivia's water breast broken." It's a great way to start out your news.
I mean, but at the same time, like, you have a co-host. Like, I'm thinking to myself, okay, she's the only one there and they're waiting for someone to come. You know, I get her commitment to going live, but that's kind of funny, especially when someone else is there. I can guarantee you it was not her first kid.
Yeah, yeah, that's a great point. That's a really good point by you.
You know, too calm, cool, and collected for the first.
100%, you're right about this. The anchor had announced in February that she and her husband, Tin, were expecting their first child.
It's their first?
That's wild.
That is crazy.
You're in the moment.
That doesn't add up.
You're in the moment, and the cameras are on. That is helping, I imagine, keep the nerves maybe a little more at bay. But that is wild. Good credit.
I figured for sure it wouldn't be the first.
I would have bet any money that you were right about that. Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's a good story, fun story, and congratulations to them on the healthy baby. Let's go ahead and take a time out. When we come back, we're going to get into some local good stories of the day. Got a lot of things going on in our area. Also want to get an update from the United Way, talk a little bit about our schedule coming up and all of that right here at Mornings on WFHR.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
CBS News Brief. People in some parts of the nation, including Minnesota, are having trouble breathing because of wildfires raging in Canada, sending smoke into the U.S. CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson with more.
The wind continues to come out of the north, and as it does so, it's going to push smoke all the way down to Chicago, Milwaukee, Green Bay. All of those areas likely to see bad air quality on and off for the next several days.
President Trump says he's doubling tariffs on steel and aluminum, even as a court battles over whether he overstepped his authority continues. CBS's Torian Small.
The businesses suing over the tariffs will have to respond by June 5th, while the Trump administration will have until the 9th. These legal entanglements could be appealed all the way up to the Supreme Court.
Joy for passengers on the Blue Origin tourist space flight this morning.
Oh, you guys just did it!
There we go! Touchdown! Capsule touchdown!
CBS News Brief. I'm Allison Keys.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
the Brewers in Philly. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Game 2 of the Brewers and the Phillies at Citizens Bank Park. The Brewers won last night 6-2. Top of the fifth, Christian Yelich at the plate against Phillies reliever Tanner Banks, who had just come into the game on FanDuel Wisconsin.
Yelich at the plate, infield back, first pitch swinging, fly ball to left, sends Kepler back at the wall and gone! First pitch into the ball game and it leaves to stage left. Yelich, his 11th home run of the season, and the Brewers have hung a 5 spot on the Phillies.
And not wasting any time, first pitch.
Yelich with 2 home runs, 4 runs batted in, the Brewers stealing 5 bases. They lead the National League in stolen bases. Manager Pat Murphy.
That is a factor, and you know we have to be that type of team. And I don't know that it was the factor tonight as much as it was, the threat of the steal. But I'll take Yelich's 2 homers over the steals.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A nice looking weekend as we transition into the month of June. Sunny skies today with highs in the lower 70s. Mostly clear skies tonight, cool and crisp with lows in the lower 40s. Temps rebound nicely tomorrow with lots of sunshine, a high of 77. Right now, it's 60 degrees.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. We are in a rare moment right now in Wisconsin politics. Why, you ask? Well, it's because we are not actively in the middle of a campaign cycle. It's been more than 6 weeks now since any of us have seen a campaign ad. It's been pretty nice, hasn't it? The moment we're in is as close as we're going to get to a political off-season here in Wisconsin. And we need to take advantage of this moment by taking action to improve our democracy. That means taking steps to address money in politics, cleaning up some issues with election administration, and creating a long-term plan for nonpartisan redistricting. In some cases, we can't make these kinds of changes in the middle of a campaign. So we need to be thinking about what we can do now. There's a lot both parties can agree on here, too. So let's make some moves this offseason, Wisconsin. Seize this moment to make a better, stronger, more inclusive democracy.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Hello, doorman. I have questions. Word around Wisconsin Rapids is that DoorWorks is the business to ask about all things doors.
Why, yes. For over 3 decades, we've been the premier door service provider in Wisconsin Rapids and the surrounding areas.
What services do you provide? And can I order a custom style or color?
We supply, install, and service a variety of doors. If we don't have it in stock in our large warehouse, we customize the style, color, and more. Call DoorWorks for a free estimate today.
Did you know? VA home loans are a key to home ownership for those who served.
In the military, we make a lot of sacrifices, and with the VA loan, it makes it easier for us to get a home.
We were able to purchase this home and then use the money that we were going to use as a down to actually fix up the home. I would tell anybody who is interested in getting a VA loan to just do it.
To learn more about VA home loans, visit va.gov/homeloans.
Welcome back, everyone. Morning show at WFHR, 80s version.
I mean, I'll even still wear them now when it's overcast.
There we go. We hope you're having a good one out there and you have your sunglasses on. Or you have them ready for tonight, I should
for
say.
For sure.
Yeah, you're going to need them tonight for sure. We're going to get into National Burger Day in a moment. I meant to start here. I wanted to say congratulations to all the graduates out there. And I know you got a little of that over at your neck of the woods, Terry. So congratulations to all the graduations out there going on this weekend and that have gone on and coming up and everything. It's a fun time of year.
Yeah, it's a great time.
And a perfect weekend for a burger. It's National Hamburger Day today. So DoorDash looked at the most popular types of burgers in all 50 states right off the bat. Might need to call a little bit of a technicality because is a chicken sandwich a burger?
No.
No, it is not. I have no authority on this subject, but I will take full authority just away from whoever has it if they say that a chicken burger is a burger.
A chicken sandwich is a sandwich.
It's a chicken sandwich. Let it be its own thing. This isn't, they have their own day. I'm sure there's sandwich day.
I'm sure.
They let them have that day. They claim chicken burgers are now the most popular type of burger in the U.S. They say the rankings are based on what people ordered the most last year, and they claim hamburgers or cheeseburgers were the most ordered type of burger in 14. 15 states.
You know, that's assuming that people DoorDash, though.
Yes. That's the outlier here with a lot of these things. All these lists end up doing something along those lines. These lists are interesting for that data, but they don't do a good, they try to, like a lot of news and a lot of stories and surveys nowadays, they want to cover as much ground because that brings more people to the article or to the story.
Well, and to their service, right?
Right. I mean, and so while I don't begrudge that, it does make the information, you have to really read between the lines, like you just did right there. That's a key part of this. Especially once I get to, because I can't imagine how people are going to feel what I tell you what the burger in Wisconsin is. You're not going to like this. I don't think a lot of people will like
a burger is burger is beef.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't have to overthink this one. It's beef. That is these 14 states chose the burger or hamburger or cheeseburger. That's compared to 17 states where chicken burgers were number one, then veggie burgers with 13 states, mostly up north, and turkey burgers in six. You're not alone if you expected a cheeseburger to be number one in all 50 states, but DoorDash says people are looking for healthier options than red meat these days.
That's fine, but don't call it a burger.
Yes. Yes. That's 100%.
You can eat all the healthy white meat you want. It's still not a burger.
I understand the marketing angle of this, but it doesn't help anybody. It's not doing any good. They say chicken is also riding a high from the virtual chicken sandwich trend that caught on a few years ago. So there's that too, which is semi-interesting, I guess. They say in Wisconsin, the veggie burger is the most popular type of burger. I have lived in this state for over 20 years. I've been to countless grillings and, up and down the state, in Madison to way up north. And I have never even seen a veggie burger in this state, let alone somebody cooking one on a grill or somebody at a party asking for one.
I've seen them because I know somebody who eats them.
Okay.
But it's not me.
Yeah,
and it's that's weird, strange.
I
think so, we're just not that good at DoorDash yet. Wisconsin,
that's where the popularity is, or that's where the data is coming from, as you mentioned, DoorDash, and that's where I think you need to put the focus of this article is that. Now, what I want to know is I want to interview or survey all Wisconsin up and down the state and find out.
What is Texas?
Texas is a chicken burger.
Okay, see, so there, right there.
Yeah,
really?
No way. There's no way you can convince me. I show up in Galveston or Austin or Dallas or anywhere in Texas with a chicken burger, they're not going to kick me out of the state. They may even drive me to the border, like kick me off in Oklahoma or something like that. I don't know. There's no way you can convince me of that. With Wisconsin, though, and we send a shout out to the National Wisconsin Beef Council and certainly our friends at Up North News who are covering this one. A big shout out to them. The Brazen Head Pub in West Bend won the 2025 Wisconsin Best Burger Contest.
Huh.
The Brazen Bear Beer Cheeseburger sounds like a really good one, too.
Yeah.
The Brazen Burger is featured a half-pound Angus beef patty, cheddar cheese, bacon, onion rings, and heart beer cheese, all on a pretzel roll.
Wow.
Not bad.
I don't think I could eat a half-pound burger.
Oh, I could. I could do it right now.
I could save it. I mean, I could save some of it. You know what I mean? Like cut it in half, but that's a lot.
I love a big burger. The Dump Bar and Grill in Cambria, also a finalist, along with Straight Home Bar and Grill in Elland. Skippy's Burger Bar in Thayensville, one of the finalists. Pickles Bar and Grill in Hazelhurst. I've heard of them a couple of times. Mm-hmm. I want to check that one out, actually. I want to go out there. Fairy King Bar and Grill in Merrimack. Also a finalist. Doghouse Bar and Grill in Mount Horeb. That's a great name. That's a great name for that one. But I saved my favorite name of all of these because this is another side story of this that I really enjoy is hearing of places that I haven't heard from before. Crafty Cow in Milwaukee. That's a good name. That's a good name, a Crafty Cow. I'll go to that place. That's awesome. Where is your favorite spot, everybody? Is it local? Is it somewhere outside the area here or anything? We talk about Culver's every week and a big shout out to them. I've never had a bad meal there. I love Culver's food. I do want to send a special shout out to Chips. They're not advertising with us, so why am I mentioning them? Because they're a local business, and that's what we do.
Day.
Yes, and that's what we do around.
You know,
here.
There's still something. There's something about that. I almost feel like you kind of had to grow up here, or like you were here early in your life. But like, there's for me just something about a Chips cheeseburger still. Like I still, once in a while, I'll be like, oh, we should get burgers from Jim's.
Yep. Yep.
I don't know. I think it's the flame, yeah, you know, the yeah, flame broiled or whatever. And I just, I don't know. There is something about that.
That was always my favorite thing about burgers growing up was the flame broil. You could taste the difference between a flame broil and something that was sitting under a hot heat lamp or something like that. And I feel like at Chips, I always get the fresh. I always get it that way.
There's I don't know. There's something about it. And I can, there's nostalgia in there for me. You know, like it takes me back to when we were kids, we'd always get the family pack. You know, you get nine burgers and what, a pound of fries or something.
It's
but I have to say one of my favorites is the Olive Burger at Sportsman's.
Yeah, good. Oh, good.
I
great
super
shout out.
Like that one.
That's a good one too.
That's one of my faves.
Who is yours, everybody? Call up, let us know. You can use the Civic Media app to call in or text us if you'd like. Otherwise, 715-424-2600. We'll keep this topic going throughout the whole show. You can shout out your favorite burger or just your favorite type of the way making the burger. My father figured out this hack years ago that he's been using, and I think, I've never really talked to him about it. I think he thinks that it's something like I'm pretty sure he stole it from my Nana, his mother. and I think in some ways he thinks he's the only one that does it. I'm sure he's not, but he puts garlic powder, a bit of garlic powder on every burger he makes. I don't know what it is, but man, now there's something about that I tie to a homemade burger. I don't put it on maybe, you know, the chains or anything like that, but if I'm making a burger at home, even if it's just for myself, I put a little garlic powder on there. I can't help myself.
You know, for me, I still love a pizza burger, too.
Yeah.
You know, like sometimes that'll be on a menu, like on a, you know, bar burgers or something. Mm-hmm. I like those. But when the caller brought up A&W before, they have a good pizza burger. I don't know. There's just something about that. I like those once in a while.
I don't know if I have a favorite spot for a burger, but I know you mentioned something about nostalgia. I think when I'm in the mood for a certain type of burger, oh, you know what? Burger King is a little like that for me, too. When I was a kid.
Whoppers?
Yes. When I was a kid, my dad and I went with my dad on a lot of his trips and a lot of the runnings he'd do. And there was under the L train in Chicago, right on, I want to say over by Old Town, there was a Burger King over there that we went to every week. And so much of my memories are tied to that food and everything. Same thing with Chips. There's a lot of those like that. And we want to hear from you. What are yours? Shout them out. It's a great day for it, everybody, and a very good day for a burger. We will take a time out. We'll come back, and we're going to talk about health. the average American, how fully healthy do they feel every throughout the year? We'll get into that. And coming up on we go right to a Family Natural Foods spot here, too. Perfect. Shout out to our friends at Family Natural Foods, who sponsor a lot of great stuff here at WFHR.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
This is for people who watched me anchoring the news at Channel 13. My last day at TV 13 was 20 years ago yesterday.
Oh, I'm old now, too.
Well, yeah, that was my whole point.
And I was, too, when you stopped working at TV.
That's what I get all the time now is people come up and they go, oh, were you on TV? I'm like, yeah. And then I go, don't say it. I watched you when I was a little kid. I'm like, yikes.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth, Melissa, and James here with you. We hope you're having a good one out there. Thanks you so much for joining us, everybody. Let's dive into this one. Made-up societal rules. Have you ever thrown away
every
food?
Rule.
Every rule.
Every rule.
Throw them all out. So have you ever thrown away food from a party or gathering that nobody would eat just because it was the last piece and everyone was too polite to just eat it or spill it, split it up or something
The pig slice.
I've seen that. I can't get what they're talking about. BuzzFeed has a new list of made-up societal rules that their readers think we should all just stop following. Which ones do you agree with and which ones don't? Of course, we want the Civic Media app. We encourage you to go ahead and let us know what you're thinking through that, calling or texting us.
That's right.
Absolutely. It's easy.
Speaking of texting, the no double texting rule. Some people think it's too much to send someone multiple texts in a row, even if they think of something else after they already sent one.
The 20-year-olds disagree.
Yeah, I've never...
That's how they... It's like a consciousness stream. They don't just send one big, long, typed-out text. When I'm talking with my youngest sibling, we one line went after another, back and forth. It's like a conversation.
This has never bothered me, but I got to say, what Melissa's saying, I thought this is how out of touch I, as far as what cool is to me, because I thought that was just the thing they did. I was uncool because I wasn't doing that. I'm not even kidding. I'm not even exaggerating. I really thought that was just something that they all did. And that was just something like, oh, okay, well, that's just the style now of texting. Yes. I guess.
My sister does that as well, but she's older than me. So that's just the way she talks.
I think it depends on who you're communicating with too, and if you're comparing it to like an email. You know, if I sent you a well thought out email that I, you know, like, would I then send you, oh, I forgot this one thing, and send you another one? Probably not. It depends on how well I know you.
Right, right. I just got the idea of you doing that with like email instead of a text. Just send a whole bunch of emails.
I like that.
Stop doing that.
Why do I have 50 emails from Mel today?
Jeez. There's just one sentence in each one. What is going on here?
Number two on this list, respecting your elders. One person says some of the nastiest people I've ever met are over 70. So I think that like a lot of things and a lot of things that might even show up on this list, I don't know that everything is meant word for word or verbatim, you know. I think overall it's a good idea to respect your elders or some of those things. On a case by case basis,
of course,
though, that is something that can be lost. And there's nothing wrong with that. Age doesn't give you a right to be certain
to
things.
To be a jerk, right.
Right.
But it also, I think that it's also saying something to, you know, paying dues. This is something we're going to have to get better and better about as a society. Guess what? Nobody's perfect.
Yep.
And putting your moral compass on somebody else is not, makes you not perfect. It's not, and I'm saying this is somebody who does it too. I'm not at all saying that I'm better than anybody. I'm just as guilty as anybody else of this stuff,
right?
But I think it's on us as a society to try to get better at it, so that the younger generations are better at it,
mm-hmm. right?
Or to help them at least.
Well, like you said, it's not just because your age is not an excuse to be not nice or a jerk or just expect respect when you don't give it.
Yeah.
I treat others how you want to be treated. If you want respect, give respect.
The golden rule, right?
Yeah. I don't think that. I think of all the things in life that are like this. What are the number one things of you can respect is something you can have in droves and lose within a second from somebody, and that's completely on you. That's completely on the person that is you know the respecter, respected. Yeah, respectee. Oh, I like that. I like that better. Expecting people working in food service to always be happy.
You obviously haven't worked in food service. If you have that opinion.
Maybe
they
should try
it. To have a day just like anybody else.
Exactly.
I feel like that one has gotten a little bit more accepted in society, and actually, I can't in some regards and way it's done some ways. Some people like the Wiener Circle in Chicago have really leaned into the opposite of that, where they're just insulting people in it, and people go there for that. And food is also really good too. Nobody says that the food is also really good. The food is as good as the insults. And I actually have students go there that are struggling with improv. Go there and watch those them. them work.
Right.
They're masters of improv over there. Yes. That I think is considered more and more norm. Mm-hmm. This next one is as dicey as it gets, but I bring it up because we need to like call out these things more. That women should be polite and to be considered ladylike. quote, men are never held to these same standards.
Right.
Double
standards. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's obviously, not obviously, it needs to be obvious that this is, you know, archaic thinking. It never made sense, but it's something that is going in the way of the dinosaur.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. There's no reason.
I'd like to take that a step further and say that there are a lot of societal things that women shouldn't have to continue to do just because society says so. Mm-hmm. I should be able to swear if I want to, without being looked down on.
Just don't do it on the air.
Just give me a heads up.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Give me a little heads up. We're our own producers around here. So I just got to know when to hit them.
I meant in public.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes you get a look from someone of, oh my gosh, did you just say that?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, well, yeah, you just said it 5 minutes ago and I can't. There's something wrong with that. Also, leg hair.
Yeah.
Women shouldn't have to shave their entire bodies just to fit in with society.
Right. So, if you want to, go ahead. But yeah, you know.
Yeah, it's all up to you. If guys want to shave their legs, sure.
That's fine.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
I had to once. I had to shave my legs once.
That's all right.
So I'll do anything for a role. I will do anything to play any character. It's part of the job I signed up for. Dear God, I hope I never have to do that again.
It's such a pain.
Of every single thing that I've done as an actor, there's nothing that is even close to having to do that. It's not the hardest thing I've had to do an actor or anything like that. It's the most uncomfortable, maybe, I've had to do as an actor.
See, everyone needs to have a role like that to find out what it's like.
Now I've got like an Amazon forest for legs. I've got doing it once. I can imagine.
Oh, come on.
I'm joking.
Does it
I'm
make
joking.
Your hair
I'm just
growing
joking.
Thicker?
I know.
Wives tale. Wives tale.
So, quote, or number five, it should be acceptable to respectfully decline gifts. Quote, why do I have to pretend to like something, take it home, and say to re-gift it later or whatever? This is, I think, one of the better examples of what they're talking about on this list. I think this other stuff is getting a little, not gray area. It should be said and noted and everything, but this is a little bit more of what I was thinking the list was going towards. These kind of things that aren't necessarily, you know, they're not going to change the course of your life or society or something. But man, we've all been in that spot where you're like, thanks. Cool. Well, I can't wait to get this home. We've all been there. I like to think of myself as one of the more I've never gotten a gift that I didn't accept gladly. Mm-hmm. But even I, who have not gotten a lot of things or anything like that, I've had moments like that. Oh, a chia pet.
Sure.
Chia pets are cool. That's awesome. I have nowhere to put it. I don't know what I'm going to do with this.
What am I going to do with this thing?
It's an interesting one.
I don't know. How do you do that politely, though? Somebody gives you a gift and then you just don't open
that's tricky.
This is a philosophical question for me.
It is.
We have to figure out what is the role of gift giving in
and
our
what's
society.
The motivation behind it,
right?
What's the motivation to accept it?
What does it mean? What does gift giving mean? And now there's a lot of cultures throughout the centuries and the millennia have different reasons. Gifts are not, you know, they're that's all for a reason. We do this for specific things. Maybe that's what we should be looking at.
Right.
Some of these are, I think we can bypass, especially because we need to for time. Everyone thinking that it's rude to read a book at a function or event. Most people are ignoring everyone on their phones anyway, so what's the difference?
Just bring a book instead.
Or just read a book on your phone.
Yeah, you could do both, right? Yeah, there you go.
I can't think of anything that outside of like literally I'm in a theater and it catches fire, I'm going to break character for. But if I'm doing a play and somebody's up front reading a book, I am not breaking character. I am walking off that stage and I am either knocking or taking that out of their hand while continuing to play in character.
Why did you pay for a ticket?
Yeah, that's a little bit different. Now, if you're going to a social event.
I
don't know. I think you get looked at weird for doing any of those things. If I brought my knitting to a social event, I've gotten weird looks.
Yeah.
I don't
but
see
you know
why.
I like to keep my hands busy.
Yeah, I don't see why it should be a big deal. You know,
no.
I make. I'm I'm using the obviously a weird and extreme example because I'm trying to be funny. You're you. Yes, and me, yeah. But I don't see any issue with this. I've never seen. One of the things that I kind of like seeing, you know, usually I used to go to Madison for their 4th of July special every year. And I always enjoyed seeing people up, dancing, moving around. Also, the person sitting there reading their book while the music's going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they're still enjoying the atmosphere.
Yeah, sure. I always thought that was kind of cool. I always liked seeing that from people and everything.
You know who I see doing this more, though, are like kids between like 11 and 16, and they have to go to the social event. Let him bring a book. Yeah. Let him bring a book and sit there and read
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, even I would, now, you know, again, people smarter than me could figure this out, but I wonder if it wouldn't be a good, okay, you're not going to put the phone down. Here's a book. Give me the phone. You can look at a book.
Yeah, here you go. Mm-hmm. Do this instead.
And finally, placing a napkin on your lap. Quote, forget it. It lands on the floor 99 times out of 100.
That's just because you have slippery napkins.
We just need to go full, you know, stuff it in your shirt.
Yeah.
You know, do the old spaghetti thing, you know, the old cliche. Yeah. Just going to just really push it down in there.
I've never done that. I haven't thought of that. I've never done that before. The whole napkin under the shirt.
Yeah, I've never done that. Like a bib, basically. Huh. We need adult bibs. That's what we need.
Well, you get
rid of the stigma of
crab
bibs.
Shops.
Yeah. See, now that's it's socially acceptable there, but nowhere else. They even put like a silly picture of a lobster on the bib. Just like you were a little kid. You know, you got the monkey face on there. So why is it acceptable there?
Yeah.
I don't understand. Society rules are weird, man.
They are.
Everybody in society could stop doing this, and I still am. There's no way you'll ever get me. And I just know myself. I'm not doing this for any reason other than it's just me and my darn brain. I know me, and I know I will continue to do this. I would not. Well, I may not eat if there isn't a napkin for me to use. Knowing me.
But see, I think the reason you put it on your lap when you're out in like a restaurant or something versus on the table, because then the dirty napkin isn't visible on the table. It's on your lap.
Okay, so it's a courtesy thing. We should make napkins.
And it also doesn't take up as much room.
That's true. We should make them edible, though. Mm-hmm. And then when you're done, you can just eat the napkin. You're done.
There we go.
You see? That means you're done with your meal.
Ew. Well,
make it out of something that's good. I'm not saying make it out of...
Well, yeah, but then you got all the other finger juices on it from everything you ate.
That's flavor, man.
It's all ended up in the same place.
Let's just throw everything in a blender, then. All meals are smoothies from now on. Leave out the banana.
Wow, she's just extreme.
I like what she
We pushed her to the edge there. We pushed her to the edge.
You and I do this to her way too much.
I love you both.
It deserves hazard pay.
I feel like someone's making a motion in my direction right now. I don't know what that is. What is that I'm feeling? I don't know.
Between the lines. We'll be right back with more show.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keyes. Health experts are warning people in parts of the U.S. from Chicago to Minnesota and Wisconsin as smoke from Canadian wildfires sweeps south. Forecasters say it will be bad off and on for the next several days. CBS's Tara Molina with more.
Canadian officials say firefighters from across the country are helping fight 22 active wildfires in the province of Manitoba, where there's currently a state of emergency. You probably remember the worst wildfire season we've seen in Canada, the summer of 2023, when we saw smoke from those fires for months. We're told this won't be as dramatic, but there are health concerns.
A setback for the Trump administration's efforts for more cutbacks to the federal workforce after a court ruling.
split three-judge federal appeals court has refused a request from the Trump administration to block a lower court's decision, which paused their efforts making deep cuts in the federal workforce. Two of the three judges said the downsizing could have significant effects on everything from the nation's food safety system to veterans' health care and should stay on hold while lawsuits continue over the extent of the president's authority. The judge who dissented said President Trump likely does have the legal power to make the cuts. Michael Toscano, CBS News, Washington.
Now to Israel, where Hamas is being warned to accept a U.S.-backed ceasefire proposal. Hamas says it wants amendments. Meanwhile, Gaza is starving. CBS's MTS tie-up with more.
The United Nations warns Gaza is now, quote, the hungriest place on earth, saying its population of 2.3 million people face catastrophic hunger. For almost 3 months, Israel blocked nearly all food, water, and medicine from entering the besieged territory. Over the past week, it's allowed some aid in.
Some senators on Capitol Hill are calling for secondary sanctions against countries that import fossil fuels and raw materials from Russia amid its war on Ukraine. They also warn Russia of possible new sanctions. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham.
The House and the Senate are poised to act. What would change our mind if Russia came to the table, agreed to a ceasefire, and earnestly sought peace? There'd be no reason to proceed.
Many Americans are worried about buying homes. Dwayne Redman at the Bank of America.
There's still optimism in the market. We still see homes selling. And we know that even younger individuals are buying homes, which is very encouraging. They're just finding creative ways to overcome the down payment barriers that they have.
60% of prospective buyers say they're not sure now is a good time to buy a home. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, the Trump administration thinks that they're doing a solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to health care, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees. I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.